Hello, welcome to The Fat Lip, the podcast for fat people about fat people. I am your host, Ash, and today, after much anticipation, after many promises that it was coming and then it subsequently not actually happening, I finally have a Dietland episode for you. So, I'm talking with my friend Allison, who's been on the show multiple times, and we actually abstained from talking about Dietland at all until we could sit down to have this chat. So everything you're about to hear is very real and just us sort of rambling and screaming about the show. So it's a long one, but we had so many things to say and I didn't want to cut out any of this content because I think it was all pretty important. So settle in. It's going to be a long ride. And also watch Dietland because, as you'll hear, we both loved it. So without further ado, my friend Allison and I talking about Dietland. Hi, Allison. Let's talk about Dietland.
Oh, hello. Yes, let's.
How do you like Dietland?
It is a good show.
Me too. I agree. It is a good show.
I enjoy watching it on Monday night. It is a good thing to do.
At 9, 8 central or something.
Ding. Trademark. Ding. AMC.
You're welcome. I wish AMC would pay me to say that.
That would be nice. I will be on this show. Okay, these are the bullets that I have. One, that stupid article. And then I have sub-bullets. Two, Dietland versus other shows. Mm-hmm. Three, the plot with Dominic. We don't have to cover that. It was just an annoying talking point.
No, we should.
Four, Carmen is a dude named Steven.
Yes.
Five, Verena and her privilege. Six.
Agreed.
Joy Nash is everything. There's no sub bullets to that. That was its own topic, beginning and end.
Oh, seven. Okay.
Steven in the most recent episode. What he said.
Yes.
Those are my topics.
Okay. Let's talk about those topics that you, because I totally have an outline, but I prefer yours.
Exactly. I'm actually using your outline. I stole it.
You're right. You're right. I wrote all of that myself. Thank you for reading it to me.
You're welcome. I like reading. It's fundamental.
It is indeed. Okay. So what was the first topic? Okay. So the Jezebel article, maybe we should save the Jezebel article till the end
that shouldn't be a first.
Yeah, because we need to, like, talk about the show first and then talk about why that article sucked.
Ugh. The next topic is Dietland versus other shows.
Yes, it's so much better.
These are my sub-bullets. This is Us, Biggest Loser, and My Mad Fat Diary. I didn't want to have only baddies.
That's true. That was very objective of you.
Yes, this outline you put together is wonderful.
Yes, you're right. I did do that all myself. Okay, so obviously, I mean, everybody knows how I feel about This Is Us and that fat character. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just enjoy that. My biggest complaint with This Is Us has always been that her whole life is about her fatness and losing weight. And Dietland is entirely about that character's fatness, but it's about, like, how her fatness intersects with everything else in her life. And it's not all about, you know, like, how sad she is all the time. I mean, it is about that also.
Yeah,
but
that's why I love actually that statement of comparison, because it actually is all those same things. It's about how miserable she is, about her fatness, and about how she wants to lose weight. It's all those same things. And yet it takes that as, like, the foundation. And then suddenly it's like a different conversation about it, instead of the same conversation that doesn't really say anything that we haven't heard or that everyone is not already saying. So
right.
I think it works like that because it's exactly a similar situation. And yet it doesn't just, like, use those tropes and say the same garbage and not bring anything fresh to that perspective.
Yeah, because I guess what a lot of people who like the This Is Us character say is that there are a lot of fat women, most fat women, who feel the way that Kate does on that show and like hate their bodies and just are doing everything they can to make themselves thin. Like that, and that is true. But on Dietland, Plum has all of those same feelings and the same struggles that all fat women have at some point in their lives. But she is also like working through them, and there's like a different perspective on how things could be different. And so that's where I think Dietland does this whole subject so much more justice than This Is Us does.
And I love also that there's so much more context for why she feels miserable.
Yeah.
It's not just like implied she's fat, therefore she's miserable. Like you see the way that other people treat her. You see the way that she's treated by strangers on the street or by her boss or by men or by even her friends. So
yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't make it just this like assumption or like in This Is Us, it's like this weird internalized thing with her mom.
Yeah.
Over how that even is real. But like this just explains like this is how hard it is to be fat. It's not just I am miserable because I'm fat and I'm not wearing a size 4. But it's like my experience, my like lack of privilege going into so many situations, like it explains why she's miserable. And I love that it gives that context.
Yeah, totally. And on This Is Us, Kate, like every conversation that she has about her body is about how it's her fault. She believes it's her fault. Everyone in her life believes it's her fault. And so the way she's treated, sort of like she internalizes that and makes that her problem, that she's the only one that can fix the way that she's treated. And the way that she's going to fix that is by getting thin.
Mm-hmm.
On Dietland, it like actually addresses how the other people around her are at fault for the way that Plum is treated, and like shifts the responsibility back onto those people and like shows her that she's empowered and that like she doesn't have to take on that burden of the way everyone treats her. Like it's not her fault that everyone treats her that way. She does feel that, like especially in the first, you know, half of these episodes that we've seen. But also it shows you and her that the people around her that are treating her that way are assholes, and like there's no like it places some of the blame on the people that are actually acting that way. Yeah. And like I think about like every stupid show like American Idol or like those competition shows, there's always like a contestant that is like, I've been fat my whole life, and that's their sad story that they tell at the beginning. You know, at the beginning when they're like, my mom had cancer and I was in a car accident, and then somebody's story is I was fat. And so it's always like, I was fat when I was growing up, but I have conquered that by losing 60 pounds or whatever. And everybody's like applauding and like talking about how great it is. And then when they're actually on the show, they're like, after they sing, the judges are always like, I know that, you know, you've been making some changes with your body and you're improving yourself. And it's like, I don't know. I just feel like on all of those shows, like whenever that happens, all I can think is like, this happens to so many people, and so many people are feeling this way about their bodies and about the way people treat them for their bodies. But the message in the media is never, so we need to, as a society, talk about how we treat fat people. That's never the conversation. The conversation is always, so what can fat people do so that they're not treated this way? Like shifting the blame back onto really the victims of, you know, body oppression.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's never that assessment of like, are we treating people the right way?
Right.
Or is us telling them to lose weight the right way to say that we should change society? Like they have to change first.
Right.
No,
go ahead.
I think it also goes to like the other way that in other shows with fat people, they try to combat the bad feelings that people have. It's just be more confident and feel better about yourself, and then mm-hmm. everything will be better and you'll have more positive experience. Like, what's it called? That Amy Schumer movie that just came out.
Oh, yeah. I Feel Pretty.
I Feel Pretty, yes. Well, I do. But it's showing the treatment that Plum has from other people for being fat, just for being fat, puts the onus on other people. And no matter how confident she's going to be, no matter how much she smiles and like how much makeup she puts on and like how much she has a great outlook on life, it's not going to change the way that other people treat her. So like,
yeah, totally.
It just removes this. And the thing with This Is Us also is like, whenever she was talking about losing weight, they were saying, they were like not encouraging her to do it, which is strange and like not typical. They're like, no, we love you. Or like there was no external motivation for her to do that. Mm-hmm. So it made it all very internal and it put nothing on any society. It was right. All about the fat person, as you said. So like, it's just such a fresh view to be able to say, no, society is problematic. Every show that we've seen with a fat person, even if they were a confident fat person, there was never like a call out of the way that fat people are treated and the way that it's not okay to treat fat people like that. And it's not just, the resolution is not just lose weight. So you don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, totally. And like Plum wants to lose weight and she hates her body and she's has done everything that she possibly can short of getting this surgery that she's planning on getting anyway to like make her life easier. Like she's doing all the things that society tells her she should be doing, but she's still being treated this way by everyone in her life and like on the street. And when she gets punched on the street, like she's doing all the right things and she's still getting this shitty treatment. So like, it's just refreshing that at some point, I guess if I were like a thin person that didn't understand all of this, at some point I feel like maybe I would think, wow, like she's doing all the right things. Why aren't people like cutting her some slack? Like she's doing what we say that we want her to do. And like, we're still treating her like shit. And at some point, like maybe it's our problem. And I feel like that's just something that no other show has ever done. Like never, ever shifted that back to thin people.
Yep.
And possibly because, you know, the entertainment industry is full of thin people who are very invested in body oppression. So
yeah, I mean, this book and this show really opens up how much money is baked into being thin and diet industry and all that. And I agree that like, because Hollywood is on the shoulders of that sort of that industry, of course they're not going to call it out because they're cutting out their own money supply.
Yeah.
So it again, like I'm just like, I think everyone was shocked that it was picked up by AMC to do because mm-hmm. it's so not an easy show to watch or like this typical storyline. Yeah. But also for that reason that it's like calling out not just people treating fat people badly, but the fact that the diet industry is just like taking money and like this churn cycle for nothing other than money rather than and treating it as if it's this self-improvement, but really it's just kind of bleeding you dry and still leaving you fat. And it's like nothing has ever challenged that because of those inherent risks of it needing to be done by Hollywood. I don't know how to talk.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I understand on some level why no other network has ever done a show like this, because like if you're a thin person who thinks that you're doing all the right things and like you just care about fat people and it's because of their health and that's why you say the things you say, like watching this show is uncomfortable. Like this show will make a fat hater uncomfortable or like yep. just a casual fat hater uncomfortable.
Just casual. Let alone,
yeah. And there are a lot of people that like exhibit a lot of casual fat hate. But like, if you're watching this and you see like some of the things that are said to her and the way that she has to react to them, that's going to make you uncomfortable. And I feel like.
Sucks for you. Don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
You shouldn't be uncomfortable because you shouldn't be casual or any sort of fat hate. You should be, every show should make you challenge what your beliefs are and make you realize that you have this like house of cards thought process, and like you should always be open to like breaking all of that down. So I hope that people have open eyes watching this and really think about what's being said to them. That's what I really thought when I first saw the first episode, is like, how are people who are not fat and not like aware of fat positivity or body acceptance, but I don't even want to say those words together, fat acceptance, how are they going to, what are they going to think when they see these things? I was so just interested to see what the non-fat, non even body positive reaction was going to be to this. And yeah. I feel like I haven't done any research into the bad stuff, honestly. So I don't really know the answer to that.
Yeah. I haven't really seen any bad press other than, you know, that Jezebel article, but those people think that they're fat positive, even though they're not clearly, but that's a subject for later on. But anyway, yeah, I haven't seen, and like, it does worry me because I just don't know how many people that are outside of the fat and body positive communities who are even watching it, which worries me. Because like, it's so, like, it's so important to me that thin people see it and like understand it, but I'm not sure that they actually are consuming this show at this point. And it makes me very worried.
I know. I guess we'll know if it gets renewed for next season.
Yeah.
I'm so like, I really am worried that it's not going to get renewed, but it's been wonderful.
Like, it makes me like want to stream all of the episodes like on a Jumbotron somewhere. Like, can I rent a Jumbotron? And
that she has, you are just like streaming Dietland.
Yeah, but I want it to be in a public location.
Yeah.
Like, can I rent a Jumbotron at Niagara Falls to play the show?
Just get one of those trucks with like a screen on it and then just drive up and down the street with like a megaphone.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break from our Dietland discussion to have a little word from our sponsors. But we'll be right back to my chat with Allison in just a minute. It's finally officially summer and it is getting hot. And every other summer, I've woken up sweaty and sticky and dying for a shower every morning. This summer, though, I've got my Big Fig, and I'm telling you, that Thermogel cooling layer is the real deal. Every morning, I've woken up feeling comfy and rested and refreshed. Big Fig is the first mattress system created for larger sleepers. Plus, I opted for the Big Fig frame, and it's made of recycled railroad steel, and that thing is solid as a rock. This bed is going to last, and Big Fig stands behind that with a 20-year warranty. Learn more about the first bed made for fat people at bigfigmattress.com and use the code FATLIP at checkout for $100 off your purchase and to let them know I sent you. Sleep cool this summer with Big Fig.
Yeah. What should we talk about next?
What else is on my outline? I mean,
we don't have to do all these topics.
I can't read my own handwriting. So,
Dominic, then Steven.
Let's talk about Dominic first, and then we'll talk about Steven, and we'll talk about what happened in this last episode.
So I've thought a lot about Dominic.
Mm-hmm.
Then not because he's attractive, because I really don't think he is.
I don't think he is either.
Number one, he should be more attractive. But number two, I've wondered, so if you haven't read the book, this is not in the book at all. It's 100% not.
Yeah, the Dominic storyline is not in the book.
So I've thought, like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
Why? And when I was in, this is when you're a freshman in college and you're like a sponge for new information, but I was in this class my freshman year of college, and they talked a lot about the concept of heterosexual disclaimer, mm-hmm. Which is basically when you have like an action movie or some movie that's really about one character, and they always have a love interest of the opposite sex to try to put the audience at ease, to say, don't worry, this person is straight type of thing for want them to be straight. And so that's what I was thinking as I think about Dominic, because if you think about the book, once she goes through the dates, there's like, she's just like, fuck men. Like, she doesn't care. And so I feel like this character is just like, don't worry, she's attracted to men, so you don't have to feel uncomfortable about like an angry queer fat person on TV. It's okay. She likes men. And it's so tedious to me because one, he's ugly, and two, it's just like there's no value in his character other than like she's attracted to someone who sucks.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm like, is it just to make it clear that she's straight? And that is really disappointing if that is the case.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there could be something to that because also she like moves into a feminist collective and mainstream people think that like all feminists are lesbians. So yeah, that definitely, there definitely could be part of that. But I also wonder if it's not moving towards, because of this last episode where he told her that he couldn't stop thinking about her. Ugh. Like, it makes me think that it's going towards the like, oh, because this man that she's attracted to has shown interest in him, she's going to like ignore the fact that he's married. Like, I'm afraid that that's where it's going. I mean, I feel like this show wouldn't go there. And I feel like maybe I'm hoping she's going to be like, fuck you, you're married. Like, I'm not a desperate fat chick. And like, I hope that's where it goes. But that's one thing that I'm slightly concerned about because I just don't want it to be like a, oh, I'm settling for this asshole because he likes me, even though he's married and he's never going to leave his wife.
I really hope, I don't know. They've been so careful about things. I'm so hopeful that it doesn't do that.
Yeah, agreed.
Or that it like spins to be about her relationship and not about, like, I get it. And when we talk about the article, I get that like the show and the book is just like doing so much.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised they didn't take any of the plot out. And like, there's so many plot lines and so much intensity and there's so much in there. I get it. And focusing maybe on like a relationship would be a relief because it's like an easy plot to follow and like it's relatable, but it's just so, it's just not a good story.
No. And it's so trite. Like every fat woman character story has had that storyline. And it's just, I feel like, I hope that they wouldn't do it. I feel like they've been like very careful to not do stupid things like that. But I am worried.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're just setting her up so that she can tell him to fuck off mightily.
I hope so. I would be okay if it was like a storyline about her dating a guy. And maybe this is next year if they renew. Like her dating a guy and him like not taking her out of public and she realizes that he has another girlfriend or, you know, he's ashamed of her or like that sort of thing. Like, I think that's important and hasn't really been done much because usually when there's like a story about a fat person finding like normal looking, average looking person, it's always like they don't believe that they like them. And like, that's the story about it.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's something you could do with a relationship story, but like going into it, knowing that he's married and if they like had a relationship, it would just be disappointing. Not that I'm trying to like be any sort of morality police, but to me it would just be like a waste of like a plot line on an already lot of things happening show
that
I don't care about at all.
Right. Agreed. I'm surprised that they didn't I was surprised that they didn't like talk about that kind of relationship when they did the dating episode, like when she was going on all those dates. The like the guy that likes her but is ashamed that he likes her.
They could have gone further with the guy who left, you mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, it could have been any of them. I just I'm just surprised that they didn't like that wasn't something that they put in there.
Maybe went straight to feeder. Oh my god,
we got to talk about the feeder thing for sure.
I can't believe that's not on your list. But yeah, they could have taken that guy, the one who's in You're the Worst. The guy who left. They could have done it where like they ended up dating or something and then he is ashamed of her and taken it further. I totally agree. But I don't know if that would have changed because she's supposed to like not have luck at any dates, which
that's true.
I found confusion in like a lot of the like plot points in the book. So I'm not against if that had become something else.
But. Yeah. And I mean, the thing about the book is that it is doing a lot. Like there is so much going on. And I feel like maybe the guy that left, that could have been the way it went with him. Because like right before she went to the bathroom, he was like, you know, I didn't think I was into it, but I kind of am. And let's get dessert. And then when those girls were making fun of her, then like suddenly he needed to leave.
Yeah.
Which is so fucked. But you know, it's real.
But that also, to me, my read on that also was that he wasn't really attracted to her until, except for her personality.
Yeah.
And I would like it more if it was like, he is attracted to her, but he's ashamed of it.
Yeah, agreed.
That's so much more real. Yes,
so prevalent.
Oh, you're so funny and smart and so witty. I definitely want...
So I can look past your...
I like you. Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely happens. I mean, I'm sure it happens, but it happens a lot less often than
the probability goes down the more your size goes up. So maybe Joy Nash, it's possible, but like that ain't happening to me.
No, for sure not. No. Do you want to talk about the feeder?
You know, wait. Did you not remind you of someone who we both know?
Yep, sure did. Sure did.
He looked like him. I think it was the hair. He looked like him. I was like,
I actually looked that person up today just to see.
You did?
Yep.
Dating a thin woman still?
Oh yeah, the same one. He lives with her.
How many fat women do you think he's dating on the side?
Oh god, so many.
That's the only reason why he's been with her that long.
Oh yeah. Yeah, fucking asshole. Anyway, but yeah, let's talk about that fucking episode, that fucking date.
Yes.
So I want to say that I have no problem with consensual feederism. And if both parties are into it and consent to it, totally fine. Do whatever you want. However, the way that guy acted is the way that so many feeders act.
Yeah.
And it's not fucking okay. It's just not. Like, he went on a date with her. At first, he was fine. Like, he was being complimentary. And then he was just, like, gently suggesting that she try foods, which, I mean, a little creepy, but okay. But then, like, he went full on, it makes me so hard when you eat food like that. And, like, that's not how you fucking behave on a date when somebody is turning you on. If they're turning you on, like, no. It is, you keep your mouth shut. Like, you cannot act like that. Feeder, like, whether you like a fat chick or not, like.
But I love that, though, because that is so absolutely
It's so real.
Real.
It's so fucking so real.
Real. Like, you know, I've told you how many dates that I've been on from that website where guys have told me they're hard when we're like in a totally inane plate or a totally like non-sexual space. Like, oh, can I go pick you up from the airport? I have an erection right now. Like, it's so real that guys, when they hold it in and they don't want to express their interest in fat women or they're super secretive about their fetish, then it comes out in this really, they think they can finally let it all out.
Yeah, but it's so aggressive and like terrifying.
That was such a real moment and I love that. I love that so much.
And like, I'm usually like very cautious about like anybody touching on feederism in the media because I feel like they get it wrong so many times. Yeah. And like, there's just so much shame associated with feederism. And I, again, like if it's consensual, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And I know like a lot of fat activists disagree, but that's just how I feel. However, the way that it was portrayed on Dietland was so accurate to the way so many encounters with feeders happen in real life.
Yeah. With non-consensual.
Right. Right.
Experience. Yeah.
Right. And like, if it were any dude reacting like that on a date with a thin woman based on like whatever fetish he had, like he would be a fucking creep and no one would go near him or speak to him and like everybody would be warned off. But like
if he was like, oh, your tits are so big, I'm so hard right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Be like, oh, whatever, he was just complimenting her.
Right
No one would say that.
No, absolutely not. And like nobody would suggest that like there's nothing wrong with it and she should be thankful that she's getting the attention.
Exactly. No, but that was so good.
Yeah. And I know that there are guys that listen to the show. Like, I know that there are FAs that listen to the show, which I'm very happy about. So if you are an FA listening to the show, I want you to go watch that episode of Dietland. I think it was episode six.
Yeah.
And watch that feeder. Watch that encounter with a feeder. And use that as an example of things to never fucking do to anyone ever. And I'm sure that you have, if you're a feeder, because so many of them have.
Yes. Do not do it in person. Do not do it in line.
Online. Yeah, don't do it online either.
Stop doing it online. Stop messaging creepy ass shit to people who you've never spoken to.
Right.
Do not do these things. But like, I think when I talked about after I read the book, when we were not talking about this, because we were saving all conversation till now. That's why we're like on caffeine right now.
Yes.
On Jess Spano.
Screaming about things.
Conversation.
Yes.
I'm so excited. I think it would be interesting if she dated a feeder, but there's so many, it's so complicated. I feel like to unravel yep. that with the like, Me Too, like male, like power and control and that kind yep. of stuff.
Yep.
And I said to you too, that I think it would be so interesting after the book part is done to talk about how she dates, because to have this feeling about men and feeling like prey and feeling like, you know, I have this like vision into men treating me badly. And how do you then take that and start to like try to have a relationship with a man
yeah.
when you've seen that side of it? So I feel like that would be really interesting, but it would be hard to do. So I would love for the show to be renewed and them to explore that, because it's really hard to have that awareness and have that like taking the blue pill or the green pill or whatever. And then how do you then still have a relationship with men? And I think we experience that because we get such raw sexual garbage all the time.
Yeah.
How do you then trust or try to explore knowing that, and knowing that's how so many people see you, it potentially how your partner sees you, and then still try to forge a relationship there? So that would be great, but I think it would be hard to do without offending like everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they do it, because I feel like there's so much that needs to be said about the interactions between men and women in like this like post Me Too culture that we're living in right now. Yeah, like how do you move forward now? Like
it's such an interesting thing to talk to think about, and like how would that be portrayed in a show?
Yeah.
How are we all experiencing life as women? I mean, we already knew that it was like this, but to know, I feel like there's something so isolating about that experience. Being in the fat community, you can bond with other fat people, but then this Me Too just lets you see that, yes, it is every single woman who's experiencing this,
yeah.
or every single femme and some men. But it's just how then do we now, knowing this and knowing how shit so many people are, move forward? I said
yeah.
shit and it sounded British in my head, and I'm like, Love Island.
I fucking love Love Island.
How shit, bruv. I can't stop. I don't know. That would be real. I hope they do something like that. I think that she's going to end up with like that cute guy who works at the cafe.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. I mean, I think she should. Like, he's been so nice to her and like so cool all the way through. And like, he wanted to comfort her after the Steven thing. But she's just not in us.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's where that's going.
Yeah.
Not Dominic. Ugly ass Dominic.
Ugh, fuck Dominic. Except don't fuck Dominic. Please don't fuck Dominic.
That would be a jackhammer situation for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. We should talk about Steven before we talk about the article.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just said Steven. So what a great transition. I totally planned it.
Because I'm reading your time. It's why I want to say timeline. Your agenda. Your
yes, my notes, outline.
Your outline. Those are words.
Yes. Yes. I'm very strict about sticking to that outline. So. Okay, Steven.
So yeah, why don't a summary of what happened this week? I know we're giving so many spoilers.
Yeah, I think at the beginning, I'm gonna before like when I do the hi, this is the Fat Lip thing, I'm gonna be like, if you don't like spoilers or you haven't seen the show, probably don't listen to this one. Or do
listen and still watch, because there's nothing that we're spoiling that makes
just
it
watch
not
the episodes watching. Over and over and over again, so that the AMC thinks that. Many people are, and they renew the show.
Just buy 100 TVs and
stream them all at the same time.
Yes. That's not how it works, is it?
Probably not. I'm not Nielsen, so I don't know.
That's amazing. Okay, so do you want to talk about what happened with Steven?
No, you go ahead. You start.
So Steven is her best friend, so we are to believe.
Yes.
Interesting because he's a woman who's pregnant in the book.
Yes.
And he is a gay man of color in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been generally supportive of her with her mom. And the thing that I think we want to talk about now is that on this last episode, she's kind of starting her woke journey of realizing that it's okay to be fat and like she doesn't need to eat nothing, which she has for episodes 1 through 6 to get to her surgery and lose weight. So she's eating something like fries or something like that, a milkshake,
mm-hmm.
and just being like confident. And Steven has never commented on like her food. He's been worried about her when she went off drugs.
Yeah. And like, I felt like maybe I made this up, but I felt like at some point he was concerned about the surgery. Like he thought it was dangerous and he didn't want her to do it. But then so she's sitting there eating her food and like talking about how she wants to get her deposit back from her weight loss surgery. And then.
And then he makes a comment about how he's worried for her health and she still should lose weight and just a lot of like health trolling.
Yeah. Like the sort of thing that every fat woman is afraid of because they've heard it from somebody in their life.
It's such like this deep betrayal of she's finally like starting to realize she can be okay with herself and it doesn't have to be based on losing weight. And this person, one of the few people who she's super close to, is just like, no, I'm really worried about your health.
Yeah. And then, and like, she thought that he was on her side and that like he was going to be supportive no matter what she did. And like, she was finally figuring it out and like figuring out how to like herself. And he like completely betrayed her for sure.
That was really good and really just hard. And I think we should say, like, obviously your friend being concerned about your health is not something we'd be like, what an asshole. But he was concerned about her health because she was eating like a hamburger after he has not been concerned about her health when she was eating nothing and like being sick and all these things. And when she ate like one hamburger or whatever it was, then he freaked out about it. So it just shows that in all of how much you can care about someone and not realize how much diet culture is in your psyche, is in your mind.
Yeah.
And like, he's just as much a part of it. And that felt so real. So like your friend betraying you and realizing, to me, it's one of those things where I've noticed as I started in the fat community over the past now 8 years or so, like you suddenly realize you're on the other side of the line with someone who you're really close with.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was a moment like that with her where she thought that they were on the same team and suddenly you realize you're standing on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
And that was just a powerful moment and hard to watch for sure.
So hard to watch. And like I felt betrayed and like, because I've had people in my life that like, I thought we were close and that they got me and supported me. And then something like that came out of their mouths and it was just like so crushing. To like feel like, oh, like we're not that anymore. Like we can't be that anymore. And we never will be again.
Mm-hmm. It's just so hard too. Cause you're like, it suddenly changes your whole relationship with that person. Cause you're like, that's how you've seen me this whole time.
Yeah.
And now I'll always think about that's how you see me.
Yeah. And you were only supportive and we were only that close because I felt the same way you do.
Yeah.
And now that I understand that I can like myself the way I am right now, like now we're on opposite sides.
Mm-hmm. That was a lot, but I'm so glad
so hard.
That was included.
Yeah. Agreed. It was just a very hard, like, I don't know if they can come back from that. Their friendship back from that. Like, yeah, I don't know.
TBD. All right, TBD. Let's talk about this garbage.
Okay, so there was an article that was written. It was written before the show even aired to the public because it sounds like they got like a screener of the first 3 episodes. It was 2 writers for Jezebel. And they wrote a piece about the first 3 episodes that they had seen. And it was a shit show. And I got real angry about it.
I'm just so surprised about it. But sorry, you describe what they do. This is.
So basically they're talking about how, they're glad that the show exists. They do say that, but they're saying that like, they think it's trying to do too much. And they think that all of this messaging is like, so 10 years ago, like this is where we were 10 years ago on the, like from a Me Too perspective and the way that, you know, women are treated and the whole Jennifer storyline. And also from a fat oppression perspective, because they think that like, you know, 10 years ago, it was okay to for people like people were getting fat shamed all the time and no one ever heard anything about it. But now it's so much better because if you shame a fat person, like you're going to get called out on it. Like that's something that they said in the article. And they were also saying that like some of Plum's experiences, they didn't think were realistic as a fat person. Specifically the one that really like stuck with me and like made me like want to shove a needle in their eyes was the part where they were talking about how one of them was talking about how in, I think it was the first episode or one of the first episodes, Plum is walking down the street and like a car pulls up and there's a guy like hanging out of it, taking her picture and like making shitty comments, like, and he was, I guess it wasn't even a shitty comment. He was like catcalling her. And the person that was writing this article, like one of the people that was writing the article, said like, what world does she live in where this happens? Where like the sight of a fat person is so outrageous that someone would take their picture. And like, all I was thinking was, what world do you live in where that doesn't happen? Because it fucking happens all the time in my world.
Oh like, my God.
And like, I don't know if these people are just not fat enough to have had this experience or what the situation is, because I feel like all of the very fat people I know have had the experience of pictures being taken of them, like very often.
Everyone has like
everyone. So like, where do you live that doesn't happen and how can I get there immediately?
I think, and one of them lives in Brooklyn too, or like in New York, I think. I was reading the comments. I was trying to do research to see who these people are because I'm just was so shocked after he sent me this. And like, I think one of them lives in New York or something. And she's like, no, that doesn't happen. And I'm like, that happened to me like almost every day in New York. Like,
yeah,
some like, sort of attention, negative, quote unquote, positive. Like, and she was just like, why in the world would that ever happen?
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, she was so aghast. And I'm like, I was just, my mind was blown because like, I know so many fat people and we've all had that experience. So like, how has it not happened to her? You know,
I pulled up this article because, you know, I like to take notes and mm-hmm. to add to your agenda.
My outline that I wrote.
Her outline. She said, I'm certainly not suggesting that catcalling doesn't happen, but it seems that we are expected to believe that Plum lives in a world where being a woman of her size is so remarkable and so unheard of that a group of men would go out of their way to take a picture of her, to share, to laugh, who knows?
Exactly why they do it. And yes. They do it all the time.
I mean, like, granted, Joy Nash isn't that big, but people were commenting on this post and they're like, I'm her size and that happens to me all the time. Like, who are these people writing this article? And honestly, even if it has never happened to the people who wrote this, like, to erase that person's other people's experiences, to think it's impossible, like,
yeah,
something could happen to you that's never happened to me, and it doesn't mean I'm like, well, that doesn't happen to super fat people, that's crazy, like, no,
right.
Like real experiences that you just are lucky enough to not have. It was baffling. But I don't know, when I read this first I was like, oh, I am old, I'm clearly very old, because they're talking about how dated it was, and I'm like, it must be because this is like for people in their 30s and like the young are not into this.
Right.
It's insane to me that they think that body positivity, which we know is also greatly hot garbage in 90% of ways, mm-hmm. has somehow made it that fat people don't experience any oppression, or that there are fat people who are unaware or who are very much into weight loss or into all of the things that Plum struggles with to make this quote unquote dated. Like it erases all of the people who are, who is watching This Is Us and making this a fucking, what, Emmy award winning show when it's like Kate's storyline is trash. If this show is dated, how do people love Kate's storyline? Like, it is real. It is there. People do not believe in body positivity and fat acceptance. Like, that is still very of this time. Just be, and they, she also called out, or these two women also called out, oh, well, there's Teen Vogue, so why is Daisy Chain still, like, that's so dated to, like, have this magazine that has this stuff. And I'm like, is there, is, are all of the magazines?
Yeah, Teen Vogue is only one of them. Like, there's still plenty of problematic garbage magazines out there.
It's still a fashion magazine. Just because it has some, like, social consciousness doesn't mean it's not promoting a beauty ideal in, like, every other, like, advertisement they have. So to be like, what is this? An art? Like, does Glamour exist? Does Cosmopolitan exist? Like, what are you talking about? That, like, one art, one magazine means that, like, oh, this is so weird and old to have this article or this magazine here. Like, what?
Yeah. And at one point also, like, they were saying that, like, the a better target for, like, all of this storyline would be the way body positivity has, like, been co-opted and, like, how it's a flaming trash heap. And yeah, the, you know, hashtag body positivity online community is like a trash fire right now. And like, it's full of thin women who don't understand body positivity at all. And like, marginalized bodies are pushed out of it for sure. For sure. That's definitely true. But do I think that's worse than fat people getting heckled on the street? Like, no, like, this is still a thing that happens that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. Are fat people not getting medical care? Fat people not getting jobs because they're fat? Like, all these things, like, and also, honestly, like, who's going to watch a show that's about body positivity being co-opted? Like, what's the entry point for that versus to get to that point to have that conversation? Like, that's for, like,
that's for 10 years from now.
It's, like, for 200 Instagram influencers to watch and, like,
yeah, and complain about
a live session about. Like, that's not, this is so much more important as an entry point for people. Like, sure, there's another conversation about body positivity not supporting fat people and marginalized bodies. Like, I agree with that. Believe me, we do. But, like, it doesn't mean that this conversation and this show is not relevant.
Right, right. Oh, so frustrating. Yeah, I just don't, like, I don't understand where these people, what planet these people live on, honestly, where this is not a relevant discussion. And, like, they were talking about how Jennifer, the whole Jennifer thing, like the Weather Underground for protecting women, like how dated that is and how because of Me Too, we've all moved past that. And like, we need to have different discussions. And like,
what?
Like, I don't understand. I don't know. Like,
we've already talked about this, guys. Move on.
Yeah.
Sexual harassment of women is so 2017. Like, I don't care about this anymore.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck?
It's like the point of the movement that is happening. Like, what? Oh my god. I was very surprised and shocked at this article. And
yeah, same.
You should read it if you feel like you're not, like, to wake yourself up in the morning and just have a lot of fiery anger, then read this article.
I'm gonna link to it also with the hope that whoever wrote it sees that I link to it and then listens to this podcast. So they understand how wrong they are.
Oh, but there is an advertisement for West Side Story on Broadway by the same girl. Damn it! I guess people
you can't like her.
People are complicated. I want to watch West Side Story. It's my favorite. I'm clicking on that article.
I'm sure you are.
She's probably saying bad things about it because that's what kind of person she is.
Probably.
All right.
She's going to be like, well, I don't understand this immigrant experience that they're talking about in this movie. I feel like we've all moved past this. It's so
different. Immigration is so
2007.
Didn't Trump already sign an order? I was going to say change order. Get out of my job. aren't children already being let out of their cages? Get over it.
So 2007. I don't want to hear about this immigrant story anymore. We've moved past this.
Wait, how do I see West Side Story on TV, though? This article is terrible. There's no links. Give me West Side Story.
Well, these people clearly suck in many ways.
Yeah, sorry. I'm back.
Did they say anything else that I hated?
Let me look at your list. Oh, I love how... there's too many little things that I don't need to bring up.
Like, yes, you do. Bring it up.
I knew about Joy Nash 10 years ago. Yeah. Okay, congratulations.
Yeah, you're great. That's great. Yeah, the title of this article was "It Feels Like 2008, A Conversation About AMC's Exhausting New Series, Dietland." Okay.
You should feel exhausted because that's what it fucking is like to be fat. Like, Jesus Christ. We have to deal with this barrage of bullshit all the time. And they kept calling it 101 level. And I told you, this girl is like not that much younger than us.
Like, even if it is 101 level, even though it's far and away way better than we've ever had, like way better than we've ever had.
You haven't even enrolled. So you got to start somewhere.
Right. Exactly. That's the thing. Like, maybe it is 101 level. And maybe if you're a fat activist, you have heard all of these things, you already understand that, and you've moved on personally to other, like, more nuanced conversations in fat positivity. Maybe you have. However, this is a TV show on a major cable network that got tons of promotion from that major cable network before it came out. Like, this is fucking groundbreaking for mainstream TV. Like, yeah. 101 or not, like, this is huge. And, like, the people that are watching mainstream TV know nothing about any of this. So they fucking need 101. Like,
exactly.
And they're certainly not getting it.
Loser. They're like, yeah,
they're certainly not getting 101 from This Is Us. So
they're getting negative 2000 class. That's not a thing, but it should be what that show is. Oh, so they also talked about how they don't like the cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Of Plum. Why?
I like the cartoon too. I wanted to look and see what they were talking about that because
I couldn't tell which of my feelings were about the show and which were my feelings were about being a fat woman in a world that thinks fat women are all some variety of folkloric monster. What?
I didn't feel like she was a folkloric monster at all in the cartoon. I loved the cartoon, though they haven't brought back the cartoon since like she got off the drugs, right? I haven't seen.
Yeah, that's true. But they wanted the cartoon to be weirder. But this isn't like an LSD dream. This isn't a fever dream.
And I mean, how much fucking weirder can it get where she was fucking talking to a fucking tiger in her apartment?
Right? I just want to take a notepad and like pass it to these women and be like, you write the show. Let's see what you got. Okay, body positivity is co-opted with like weird psychedelic cartoons. And... what are you really going to give me that's going to be better than a show? Because this show was so groundbreaking and so also entertaining to watch. And yet you're just poking holes in things that are like unnecessary. And
yeah, because you think you're too cool. Like that's what it feels like. It feels like they feel like they are too far advanced and too cool for this show. That's what it feels like.
Well, that's fine because I never claim to be cool. So I will dig.
That's true. I am absolutely not cool.
I don't want to be like the people who wrote this article. So I'm cool being like, I'm old. I like this show. I like her like bold haircut that she has. I'm fine with it. And I like the cartoon. I do get photographed by people all the time. Not in Texas though. So can't wait for you to see that. But in New York constantly. So enjoy your sad 201 lives or wherever they are in there.
Yeah.
Oh, they said, 2 years ago, Weight Watchers magazine got women to pose natural beauty, and their pitch has shifted to one that uses empowerment language. Are you joking? Are you joking? Are you really? That showed the true character of the people who wrote this article so much, because you are not whatever level, advanced, super advanced level body fat positivity, if you're going to defend Weight Watchers.
Yeah, like, and say that they've turned over a new leaf.
Like, you showed your cards right there, buddy. Like, you showed them.
If you're and if you want to talk about a company that's co-opting body positivity, like, hello.
Right. Yeah. Mm-mm. Oh, they wanted to change. I would have liked to see the show wrestle with the ways that the marginalization of fat people has morphed into things that are more often more subtle, but no less frustrating. What? So that's basically saying fat people aren't marginalized anymore.
Yeah, totally.
This is like what I said last night, which was when I read this, it's like saying, well, now gay marriage is legal, therefore there's no...
Yes, that's exactly how it feels. Yep.
Like, oh my God, this is so 2013. Gay marriage is legal. Can we stop talking about this? Like, it's legal. So, like, that's not really a thing. There's no gay bashing anymore. Like, that's so 101. That's so 2008.
Yeah.
No.
And the suggestions that they're making are, like, so abstract. Like, this paragraph is, like, says, if the message is sharpened just a tad, like, if the show is angrier in a way that felt less like 2013 and more like now, it would work better for me. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like,
I don't know, because
it needs to be angrier. Like, what are you even talking about, honestly?
2013 was very recent, so shut up.
Yeah, like, what is even happening? I don't understand. I don't understand.
It was very cool, girl. It was very unnecessary. And
yeah, and it just feels like they're living in a world where everything is social media and they don't have to actually walk around in the world as a fat person. So they don't have any concept of what it's actually like.
Is this the future? Is this the future generation?
I don't know. I feel like they're not that much younger than we are.
I think one of them is like in her early 20s, but I swear one of them is in her early 30s if I Googled correctly, which I always do.
So like, I am an experienced Googler, so.
Who are you, people who wrote this article, and why? Why? Why would you forsake your other fat sisters and brothers like this? Like, this is just, no. But in summation, Dietland is the opposite of this article. Everyone should enjoy it and see it.
Yes. Don't listen to these turds. Yeah. Somebody actually on Instagram pointed me towards this article after, like, I started talking about Dietland after I saw the first few episodes. And they were like, this Jezebel article is terrible. You should read it.
I'm glad that you did. Thank you for sending it to me. I got a lot of aggression out and it was good. It was
righteous indignation. One of my favorite things.
Yes, it came in spades for that article.
Yep. Agreed.
So.
Okay. Have we covered all of Dietland as much as we need to cover?
We've covered enough.
There's I'm sure. I don't know how many more episodes are left.
It's got to be maybe 10 for the season. And
yeah, some probably eight. Something like that. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm thinking it's going to be like, what's it called? Veronica Mars, where like they actually give you the answer in season one.
Yeah, hopefully.
So I bet we're going to know the story with Jennifer.
Yeah, I feel like we are. I feel like it's going that way. Yeah, but I wonder how the Dominic situation is going to turn out. I wonder if she and Steven are going to make up, if he's going to see the error of his ways. What else do I wonder? Knots that need to be tied up. Oh, the storyline, like whether she's going to get with the guy from the bakery.
Yeah.
I want to know these things.
If they're going to... I'm interested with what they're doing with, what's her name?
Oh, yeah, Kitty.
I'm not really interested in Kitty. Sorry, Juliana Margulies. What's her name? The one who's like from Law and Order, the Julia.
Oh yeah.
I feel
it is Julia.
A little different there.
Agreed. I do find it interesting, also, just like from a TV, like seeing TV perspective, because I know how fat Joy Nash is in real life. Like, she's not that fat in real life. Like, yeah. She's like maybe an 18. A size 18, size 20 maybe, but she looks so much bigger on the show. So I was like trying to figure out whether it was her clothes, or I feel like also part of it might be like just in comparison to the other actors, because Juliana Margulies on this show looks like rail thin
Yeah.
But like, she's never looked that thin before in anything else she's ever done. So like, maybe it's the, like, just seeing her next to who, what I know is like not a very fat person, you know?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I hope they didn't pad Joy Nash. I mean, she's wearing a lot of baggy stuff.
Yeah.
And like, if you see pictures of her on like Instagram or whatever, she's generally not. So
right,
maybe it's
right.
that, but.
And like, I feel like she wouldn't go for that. And like, I hope that she wouldn't. And there were some sequences where she was like naked or like at least in her underwear. But yeah, she definitely looks bigger on the show than I know her to look in like from social media. I obviously don't know her in real life, but.
Maybe one day.
Maybe.
After this beautiful podcast, she's going to write you a love letter.
We'll see.
She'll sing you a song.
And like, I don't know how much influence she's had on the show or the character, but if she's had any at all, like, I just want to give her a round of applause because,
yeah,
like, this has been huge. Like, even though I am far and away much fatter than her and like our experiences are entirely different, it's still huge.
It's so huge. There's been nothing even close to this.
No, agreed.
So I'm so thankful. And to Marnie Nixon, if that's what her name is, for putting this together. Like, I am happy that it exists.
For sure. And like the complete difference in the perspective of a woman being the showrunner on this show, like versus a man that's the showrunner of This Is Us. And just like telling the story from his perspective as like a guy who has a fat sister.
Ugh.
And like, like it's like night and day, the difference in the way these stories are told. And
it really is.
I'm just so happy that the person that is the showrunner for the show is the showrunner, because it could have so easily gone bad.
Yes. And it seems like she's just very like thoughtful.
Yeah.
The way that this is being put together.
Yeah, for sure. And I know Sarai Walker like had some consulting, like she did. She's the one that wrote the book, obviously. But yeah, I'm just really happy with this show, and I wish that it could go on forever. And I wish that everyone in the world had to watch it.
Yes, I know. What if this was, you know what? I haven't thought about this in a long time, but think about like all the times in school where they like roll in a TV, which I realize isn't a thing anymore, but where you have some sort of, even in college, like a class about media.
Yeah.
Like, what if this becomes like some sort of like, it's in some education, like it's really something.
It should, that, like I want it to.
Right? Like this could be.
If I were teaching a class, I would make my students sit down and watch this show.
Well, there are some schools that have like fat studies as a major. So,
yeah.
But there could be something about gender, about like size, about things related to that. I was going to say disability, but not really. And this could be great material for that. I don't know. I like to think about that, even if it is only one season, it could have a lasting impact and be useful like in a lot of different spaces. So,
yeah.
I'm hopeful. Agreed. That it finds a place to like stay useful.
Yeah. And I'm really happy that like even if we only get one season, I'm just happy that it exists. Like, even if this is all we get, like it's still far and away so much better than anything we've ever had. So
yes.
But I will be sad to see it go.
Please don't. No jinxies.
Also, man, that feeder sequence. When I saw that, I was like, yes, that's totally how it happens.
That's so real. I'm so glad that we both thought about that person.
Yep.
It's so bad because he's like, he was so attractive and yet so bad.
So bad.
He exactly did that to me when we went to the movies and he's like, I bet you can eat this whole popcorn. I bet you can't stop yourself from eating. And I'm like, I just want to watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like,
yeah, could you just like, fucking shut up? Like, thank you, Allison, for coming on the show today and talking about Dietland with me. Mostly just screaming about it, as I did. But it was fun, and you should watch Dietland if you are not. If you don't know about the show, I didn't really talk about it at the beginning, but Dietland is on AMC, which is a cable network, and it's on right now. The 7th episode just aired this week. The 8th one will air on Monday. So Mondays at 9 o'clock Eastern, probably 8 o'clock Central. Check your local listings and all that. Also, the first 3 episodes are still available for streaming for free without a login on AMC.com if you're in the US. So you can check it out there if you haven't seen any of them. But definitely check it out. It's a great show, and I'm so happy that it exists. So thank you, Allison, again, for coming on the show today. You're the best. Thank you to Star Crusher for the music you heard on today's show and the music you're hearing right now. To hear more from him, go to cstarcrusher.bandcamp.com. And thank you to our Patreon patrons. Our patron of the day is Danielle. Thank you so much, Danielle, for your support. If you'd like to support the show, go to patreon.com/thefatlip to learn how. Don't forget to follow the show on social media. All of our social media links can be found at the very top of thefatlip.com. But I'm most active on Instagram, so if you want to see me posing awkwardly or taste testing cookies or something, that's the place to be. I haven't posted in a little while, but I'm going to be back to it this week. I'm going on vacation, so I'm going to post some photos. And my Instagram tag is fatlippodcast, and it's pretty fun over there, so you should check it out. If you've got a minute and you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider rating and reviewing the show. Every rating or review makes the show more visible and more likely to get to the ears of more people. Okay, so that's all I have for you today. I'm going on vacation next week, but I will be back again in a couple weeks with another episode for you. So I'll see you again soon. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.